Hello and welcome back to Uniquely Genetics, a podcast by Sheep Genetics. I'm Chloe Bunter, and today for our third episode, we're getting a sneak peek into the behind the scenes of the sheep genetics evaluation. Our topics today are two pillars of the evaluation that have influenced progress so far and will continue to influence the progress of the Australian sheep industry. They are reference populations and analysis enhancements. Now, these are two things that are quite often talked about and discussed within and around the sheep genetics community and can be a source of confusion where they sit in the grand scheme of things. So to help us take us through what reference populations and analysis enhancements are and why we have them and give us a little bit of insight about how they work for sheep genetics, I have asked along a very special guest. She started out as the Merino Select Development Officer like me in sheep genetics and has worked across the genetic industry in a number of roles from research to adoption and extension, is currently the captain of the sheep genetics ship, the manager. I'm talking about, of course, Peter Bradley. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Peter, for this episode of the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me on, Chloe.
So we'll get straight into it. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit of a summary about what your role has been in genetics and the sheep industry over the years and what sparked your interest in genetics to begin with.
Yeah, so I grew up on a sheep and cropping property near the village of Armatree in central west New South Wales. So it's about a bit over an hour northwest of Dubbo. So I grew up on the family farm, and as I was progressing through my schooling, found a bit of a love of agriculture. My parents were always very encouraging of my brother and I to pursue any career, really. We were not limited to agriculture, but we both of us found a bit of a love for the industry. And as I was progressing through schooling, I started to discover that there was this world of genetics. And part of our family business is also a seed stock operation. So we were recording and submitting data to sheep genetics and asking questions why and how things worked, and basically led me to look at studying at the University of New England. Yep. Because apparently there was a lot of genetics courses and a lot of genetics fields based out of Armidale. So that led me to study at UNE and did a Bachelor of Rural Science, and of course continued to chase pursue my interest in genetics. Did honours in my final year, which was actually looking at genetic estimations, genetic parameter estimations in reproductive traits in sheep. And then in 2017, I joined the sheep genetics team at Meat and Livestock Australia in the Merino Select Development Officer role, so your role. Yeah. And I had a number of years in the sheep genetics team. And then after that, I had the opportunity to still stay within the broader MLA genetics team, but branch out into project management of MLA's livestock genetics R&D portfolio. So working and managing a number of our research and development projects in the genetic space. And that was both across beef, both north and south, southern beef, and also sheep. And then back about 2.5 years ago, I took on the role of sheep genetics manager, and that's where I am today.
Very good. So you've had a lot of experience in those different aspects of genetics within Meat and Livestock Australia. And the topics that we're going to be discussing today are two pillars that really underpin the work that's being done, being reference populations and analysis enhancements. So I thought we might start with reference populations. Are you able to give us a summary of what a reference population is?
Yeah, that's a good question, Chloe, and it certainly has changed over time. Mm-hmm. And we would have heard on the listening to the earlier episodes with Rob and Alex, a lot of discussion about the information nucleus flock. Yep. Back during the sheep CRC days, and that was a really, important and the start of our sheep reference populations. We had, going back to the sheep CRC, that was where we were basically genotyping animals and phenotyping or measuring animals for hard to measure traits. So during the sheep CRC, there was a lot of measurement going on. It was when we first started to get some eating quality measurements, so things like intramuscular fat and shear force. We're also doing reproductive recording as part of the information nucleus flock, mm-hmm. as well as, of course, genotyping those animals. Yep. And at the time, there was actually, when that information nucleus flock kicked off, genomics was not part of the routine sheep genetics evaluation. So you couldn't actually take a genotype and submit that data into Lamplan or Merino Select. But it was really important that we had these populations that were starting to do that. And then over, I guess, sort of from 2010 onwards, we started to see some genomic breeding values emerge. And then in 2017, when our Merino Select and Lamplan analyses went to what we call single-step evaluation, so mm-hmm. we are now producing genomically enhanced breeding values, through those evaluations, that actually changed what a reference population is from an evaluation sense. In when we think about research reference populations, they're often run on research farms and we're genotyping and phenotyping for a particular trait. When we went to our single-step evaluation, the reference population actually became any animal in the sheep genetics evaluation, regardless of if it came from a research farm or if it came from a producer farm that had a genotype and phenotype. So the definition or where we think reference populations are have actually changed in that, yes, research farms or projects are still a really important reference source, particularly for those harder to measure traits or new traits that are emerging. But now in our, and it has been the case now for the last 7 years, our ram breeder flocks that are phenotyping and genotyping are now part of the reference. I guess the other key thing with references is that it is dependent on each individual trait. So we know that in Merino Select, for example, our reference for a trait like weaning weight, which is really commonly recorded on pretty much most animals, and we have a large amount of genotyping happening in the Merino Select evaluation, our reference population for weaning weight is really, really large. Whereas harder to measure traits like some of our adult staple strength, adult fiber diameter or eating quality, they're much smaller reference. They're still quite effective and still effective for genomic selection, but they're a smaller reference because we don't get as many animals through the normal sheep genetic submission where they've been measured and genotyped for those later in life or harder to measure traits.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite often when you're thinking about reference populations, don't think of it at a trait level. You think it was more of a population level. When thinking about reference populations, how important is it that a reference population is representing the industry and the direction that we're wanting to take?
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit like the what I was mentioning before, in that we need to think about references at a trait by trait level. So we need to be thinking about what are the traits that are going to be important or are currently important in our breeding objective, and what traits might be of future importance in our breeding objective. And I guess the key thing, probably beyond reference populations, Chloe, but more so with just genomic selection in general, because that's really what reference populations underpin. They underpin mm-hmm. our ability to utilize genomic selection. So when we think about it from that, well, what traits lend themselves well to genomic selection? And that tends to be our harder to measure traits. So traits that might be more expensive or like eating quality require animals, you know, to be slaughtered before we can actually take that phenotype.
Yeah.
Or traits that are measured much later in life. So other really good examples are reproduction and adult fleece weight, for example, or adult wool traits. Because if you want to utilize genomic selection, we want to be able to take a genotype early in life on an animal or particularly a young ram lamb, take a genotype, we get better information back to make a more accurate selection decision earlier on, mm-hmm. so we can decrease our generation interval and drive genetic progress. So it's really important that we're thinking about our references of, well, what are the traits that lend themselves to genomic selection, both now, so things like the traits I mentioned before, you know, eating quality, reproduction, later in life wool traits, but also traits that are going to be harder to measure, that are going to become important in our future breeding objective. So a lot of our reference work within MLA's R&D portfolio now is looking at sustainability and feed intake traits, which again lend themselves nicely to genomic selection. And that's really where our focus of our reference population investment has shifted to in recent years, as well as maintaining the reference for those other traits, which are, you know, of course, still important in our breeding objective.
Absolutely. And talking about investment in reference populations, can you give some examples across both beef and sheep of reference populations that are used?
Yeah, so I guess I'll probably talk here not so much about the breeder references, because, you know, of course they're happening in the background, but really where our research and development investment has been in. So if I take the sheep to start off, thinking very much that the information nucleus flock really was the founder there. And then we saw that transition in 2012 into the MLA resource flock, so measuring eating quality traits on about 150 sires annually. So that's been a really valuable reference population to get and develop breeding values for eating quality traits, and ultimately change the genetic trends for those traits. As well as projects outside MLA, so the AWI Merino Lifetime Productivity Project, again, tested 134 sires over a number of years, collecting reproduction and later in life wool traits, again, both traits that lend themselves to genomic selection. So that's also been a really valuable reference or industry investment in a reference population. But we also see similar models being deployed in beef. So in northern beef, the Reprenomics Project, which is run at two research stations in Queensland, has been really, really invaluable in capturing reproduction, which, again, a bit like in sheep, quite a difficult trait to measure, particularly in those large, extensive northern systems, but also an incredibly economically important trait. So the Reprenomics Project has been really impactful for breeds like Brahmins, Droughtmasters, Santas, to enable the development of their single-step genetic evaluations and genomic selections for reproduction. And there's been some really incredible results with, you know, now the number of bulls that are sold at Rockhampton Beef, at the beef sale annually, that have a days to calving EBV. Yeah. And that's really underpinned by that Reprenomics investment. So that's been a really key one that for us, or for MLA in Northern Australia. And in Southern Australia, the Southern Multibreed Project, which is a project with the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries, again, measuring a range of different breeds head-to-head at a number of research sites for hard-to-measure traits and evaluating for additional hard-to-measure traits like methane and feed intake, building on essentially other investments that have been really successful, like the Angus Beef Information Nucleus, which is that project's finished up, but Angus Australia continue to invest in their own reference population. So that it's been a lot of success stories, regardless of species and regardless whereabouts in Australia you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say, in summary, a reference population is a way of underpinning different work done within the evaluation, such as genomics and getting those hard to measure traits available for breeders to use?
Yeah, I think in summary, our reference populations really enable genomic selection and allow us to drive genetic progress for hard to measure traits and be able to include those in our breeding objective and select for them more accurately. So it's really just underpinning, just data that underpins our now routine sheep genetics and also in the beef side, breed plan genetic evaluations.
Absolutely. And that's a good segue into our next topic, which is analysis enhancements. So this occurs when we've got something that we need to update or implement or improve within the analysis. How would you describe these analysis enhancements?
Yeah, that's a good question, Chloe. And it's actually, I guess, coming to the point of analysis enhancements, it's kind of what makes me really excited to work in genetics and what you could say what gets me out of bed each morning. And it comes back to our genetics supply chain, which is a bit of a term I like to use, where I love it that as a commercial producer, because I've always got a commercial producer hat on, having been able to experience experienced that growing up and involved still in the family business, but is that as a commercial producer, how do I get value from research and development? And the genetic supply chain really enables that, in that if I'm a commercial producer and I'm purchasing rams or bulls with breeding values, I'm getting benefit from that research and development based on the accuracy of those breeding values, how my seed stock producer has been able to utilize breeding values to drive genetic progress. And really, the way we're able to do that is we do this fantastic research and development. So things like our reference populations and new trait data and trait collection, that's happening under these research projects that are being funded by MLA, but also other organizations. But one of our key research and development projects within the livestock genetics portfolio at MLA is with the Animal Genetics and Breeding Unit, or AGBU, that is responsible for the developing the engine and continual development of the engine that sits behind sheep genetics, also known as the OVIS analytical software, or also the breed plan analytical software. So we're doing this research and development, collecting new data. That data is able to feed directly into that project with AGBU to further develop and enhance our genetic evaluation engine. So that might be creating a new trait, or it might be enabling genomics to be utilized in the calculation of breeding values. And then that flows into sheep genetics. So what our roles are at sheep genetics, which is delivering breeding values to industry. So we're then able to, you know, report new traits on the website, work with breeders to effectively utilize genomic selection, working with our ram breeders to utilize those new breeding values or existing breeding values to better drive genetic progress, which ultimately then has a flow-on effect to the commercial producer. And that's the bit that gets me excited, is that that pipeline is actually really well connected, meaning we can realize quite easily the value of our R&D investment. So where does analysis enhancements fit all into that? It's that continual development of the engine in the genetic evaluation. So we know that that's happening, and annually at Sheep Genetics, there's always updates happening, but we try and consolidate all of those updates to an annual release, which happens at the moment around this time of year. So between, say, March and June annually. Yep. And that's really when we're getting to make updates to our analysis and release them to industry, that is the result of that research and development pipeline. So it's quite an exciting time of year, and quite timely that we're sitting down to have this chat, Chloe.
Absolutely. You say that they do happen annually. What's some of the exciting work that has been released in the last couple of years through analysis enhancements?
Yeah, so our evaluations are always continuing to evolve, and there's been a, you know, 20 plus year history of this happening. You know, some of the early things that Rob and Alex covered in their earlier podcasts around, you know, the creating Merino Select and and merging, you know, into multi-breed evaluations for terminals. If I think a little bit more recently than Rob and Alex's podcast, some exciting ones that stick in my mind, obviously in 2017, which was when I joined the sheep genetics team, that actually just implemented single step genomic evaluation. So that was a pretty critical turning point. But since then, some other ones that stick out in my mind are, I think it was about 2019 when we first saw the component reproduction traits launched for maternals, and then a year later in merinos, and then, you know, the development of the weaning rate breeding value to replace number of lambs weaned. You know, to be able to split reproduction, which is such an important economic trait in many sheep breeding businesses, down into its components of conception, litter size, ewe rearing ability, both at an adult and a yearling level. That was a massive piece of R&D work and implementation work. And as you know, I think we're only just starting to really see the benefits in our genetic trends from that development. And also that was moving reproduction, which is a trait that lends itself perfectly to genomic selection. Yeah. When those were implemented, that was the first time we had a genomically enhanced reproduction analysis in sheep. So again, that's a pretty key development. And then a little bit more recently than that, again, is in 2022, we implemented the sheep genetics database. So that was really where we were connecting research and development, but also the delivery of breeding values that we at Sheep Genetics are responsible for. we had to update our database, which meant we had to do some updates to the analysis. And that's really set Sheep Genetics up for the future, that implementation of the new database back in 2022. And then last year, the updates to the Merino parameters, which again, we did because of the database, but also looking at how we partition genomic information in the analysis because of the explosion in genotyping, if I can use that term, that we've seen in the Merino Select analysis, which has enabled us to increase a thing we call lambda, which is essentially how much do we weight the pedigree information versus the genomic relationship information in the evaluation. So I guess that's in my time at Sheep Genetics there, Chloe, they're the ones that really, really stick out for me.
No, absolutely. And some great examples of, you know, especially that comp repro, that reference population where it's being recorded and the pipeline through to it being able to be used with breeders with analysis enhancements is a good story. I was wondering, as you said, it is analysis enhancement season right now. Can you give us a little bit of information about what we can expect with analysis enhancements for 2024?
Yeah, so we're just in the midst, as we're recording this, of preparing for the release of this year's enhancements. So as of the 15th of May Land Plan Analysis and 21st of May Merino Select Analysis, this year we're very much seeing it as a year of refinement. Those two previous enhancements, so in 2022 and 2023, they were quite large-scale changes for many of our clients. We're very much seeing this year as a year of refinement. So for Merino Select, the final release and replacement of the old indexes with the new Merino Select indexes, which have been derived from a new version of our index software that AGBU, and in particular Andrew Swan and Sam Walkham have worked on, mm-hmm. is really, really exciting. Those new Merino Select indexes enable us to continue to drive genetic progress for key production traits, and that's something we really can't take our eyes off as we get, you know, lots of new shiny things. You know, we still need to be driving profit on farm, so selecting for those production traits, but doing that in combination with a number of new traits that we have never included in indexes before, so things like DAG in a couple of the indexes and breech wrinkle being included to some extent in all our indexes, as well as now right through to yielding reproduction and even eating quality in our Merino indexes. So that's quite an exciting development for the Merino Select analysis to be able to do after a year of having indexes as research, going through another period of consultation to the final versions. It's quite exciting that they will be out in the public domain. The other ones probably impacting more so in the land plan evaluation is for both the terminal and maternal evaluation is the updates to our genomic breed references. Mm-hmm. So this essentially enables nearly every animal in those evaluations to be able to have a genotype included in that evaluation. So we used to, prior to this year's enhancements, have a list of, I think it was about 13 breeds that were able to submit genotypes into the evaluation. Some great R&D work that's been done at AGBU is enabling us not to look at it at a breed level, but rather a population level. And we've seen basically an additional 30,000 animals have genotypes Wow. included in the evaluation, which is a really exciting exciting tool. And particularly as we were talking before about references being breeder flocks now. So it enables a lot of breeders to start either utilising genomic selection or even just start building a bit of a reference so they can utilise genomic selection in the future. And finally, which impacts actually all our evaluations, so land plan, terminal, maternal and merino, is the fact that are now enabling intramuscular fat data that has been collected either with an MEQ probe or a SOMA device from processors, as well as lean meat yield captured using a DEXA, to be included as phenotypes in the evaluation. So prior to this enhancement, to have an intramuscular fat phenotype or a lean meat yield phenotype, we basically had to do a full-blown research kill, go into a plant, take samples back to a lab, test for chemical intramuscular fat. And if we wanted lean meat, you would actually cut them up and put them through a CT machine. It's been a great industry collaboration across, not just with genetics, but many other organizations to develop and implement these devices. But we're essentially now able to utilize that data. So lambs go through, or surplus animals from a seed stock producer or progeny test can go through a processor that is using a device like an MEQ probe and DEXA, and that data can flow directly into the sheep genetics evaluation as a phenotype for intramuscular fat and lean meat yield. So really opening the floodgates of that type of information and just further refining that carcass and eating quality evaluation. So that's quite an exciting year, and basically just allowing us to use a bit more data in industry for some traits that are pretty important, particularly in our terminal breeding objectives.
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to include those additional genotypes and that carcass information is going to do wonders with those. As you said, this year is more a year of refinement compared to the last 2 years, where it was implementing some new things. Analysis enhancements are quite different year on year, but do you have any general advice for breeders to get themselves ready and on top of the things?
Yeah, good question, Chloe. Having been through a number of these now, as my time at Sheep Genetics, there's a couple of key things that really stick out. And first and foremost would be actually looking at, we try at Sheep Genetics to make sure we publish ahead of the enhancements, which what enhancements are and what analysis they are impacting. So really getting a handle and each year on, if I'm a pole Dorset breeder that might be submitting data into the terminal evaluation, for example, what are the enhancements this year that are impacting the terminal evaluation? So understanding directly what's going to impact me. I'd also recommend keeping an eye on what's happening in evaluations that you might not be submitting into, because we often see what happens in one, we roll out in future years in another. So a great example of that is those new component reproduction traits, which happened in maternals first, and then we released for merinos a year later. Bit like with the Merino indexes, some of the updates to the software that has enabled the development of these indexes will be used in terminal and maternal indexes in the future. So obviously understanding what impacts you now and directly, but, keeping an eye on the future and what that might mean is pretty important. Strongly recommend jumping on and reading or watching the videos about what that enhancement is and getting a bit of a handle on what impact that is going to have. And then I guess some practical tips that we generally do at Sheep Genetics, but I'd also encourage a lot of flocks to do, is before those enhancements are implemented, make sure there's a few things I'd go and do, is go and save genetic trends before the enhancement. So the run before the enhancement, go and have a look at your genetic trends on the Sheep Genetics search site, see where you're sitting and save those. Also download your latest lot of results into your software. Mm-hmm. And then finally, save a copy of the percentile band table.
Yeah.
Because often we see that, there might be some number movements, but it's really important that new analysis after the enhancements are done, that we're looking at the newest and latest set of percentiles. Because I think often as breeders, we get a number stuck in our head of, okay, a top, we know that a top 10% index is above 150 or whatever it might be, depending on the analysis. But really re-benchmarking with percentiles after the analysis. So I'd be going through and saving all of those things prior to the enhancements. And then obviously after the enhancements, to get a handle on, well, what impact has this had on my particular flock? Going back in and looking at the genetic trends, between the two runs, re-benchmarking yourself on those percentiles is really, really important. And then, of course, reaching out if you've got any questions. So that's generally what I'd recommend doing coming into enhancements each year, really taking the time to understand, what does it mean for me? What does it mean for my flock? And then what impact has that had on my flock?
Absolutely. And we all are guilty of not re-benchmarking ourselves sometimes. So that's a really handy tip. Thank you.
No, I certainly need to remind myself of that sometimes too, Chloe.
I feel pretty confident in saying that you are a sheep genetics nerd like myself, but I was wondering, outside of genetics and sheep, what else do you do to keep yourself busy?
Obviously, I still enjoy being part of the family business and the farm. So getting out, just getting hands dirty and being reminded of the, I guess, the practical things that happen on a farm and the things that we need to be considering both at a commercial level, but also when it comes to recording and things like that. So I really enjoy getting back out, hands, boots on the ground, so to speak, and being involved on the farm. And I guess probably outside that, I do enjoy most sports, but I think sports actually are really, or fitness in general is a really important part of life and a balance of life. And I do enjoy swimming and fancy myself as a bit of a swimmer.
Very good. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode and giving us a little look behind the scenes of two pillars of the analysis that are analysis enhancements and reference populations. I really appreciate your time, Peter.
No worries, Chloe. Thanks for having me on. And I can't wait to see what happens with this podcast.
No worries. Thank you.